Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Hi, everyone. This is Lori Peters at the Happiness Hangout. Welcome to the show. This is a place and space to help you feel your best. Really glad to have you this evening and very excited to be in our Happiness and Relationship series. And today, I'm excited to tell you about our guest. Her name is Jackie Wynn Schaefer. She's an author, speaker, and consultant on the topic of leadership development and emotional intelligence. She is the author of your amazing itty-bitty book on family leadership and the upcoming book, The Healing Power of Music and Art. She is certified in leadership development, NLP, and a program which integrates music and art to release pain, negative emotions, and trauma. Her clients have included businesses in the manufacturing, children's services, and legal industry. She works with parents who are business owners by helping them align physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually to create a harmonious, healthy, and happy family environment. Make sure you visit her, and we'll go through this again at the end, but visit her at integrativeminds.com and download your free life evaluator assessment. Jackie, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
I'm really well. So glad to have you on the show. Happiness in relationship is one of our very hottest areas, and I've dedicated the month to it, and we'll probably do some additional months. And glad to have you kick off this series. And I really like to kind of find out a little bit about you before we get into the nitty gritty of this, if you don't mind. Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Wonderful. So go ahead.
No, what would you like to know?
Well, what I'd like to know is how you got into the business of working with families.
Sure. Well, I started in the corporate world training managers, owners, team members on leadership development, which are things like effective communication with their team members, emotional intelligence, and employee engagement. And then some of my clients would say, God, I'm having really good positive changes in my family while I'm applying these tools that you're teaching me. And could I hire you to work with my son, my daughter? My wife could really use someone to help her. So I would get hired to help the family member. So I took the same tools that I use with the business people, and I taught the family member, because I realized that as parents, we're never taught about how to communicate effectively or how to engage people and get them and to be motivated, right? And I had really great results. And so then I started adding families to my repertoire.
I see. Well, you know, sometimes naturally, don't we find that sometimes we end up going in a direction we never really thought of? And when it just is happening, you just go with it.
Absolutely. I think that's when you are most successful, when you just go with the flow and you go. It's always easier going with the downstream of the ocean, right, when you're in the water than trying to go uphill. And I found that when I listen to my intuition and the divine God universe, and you just follow that direction, it's success is easy. Work shouldn't be hard.
Exactly. Because if we do what we love, we talk about this often, that really brings us the good life, part of why we have the good life. So it's wonderful to hear someone like you who, you know, saw that direction and just went for it.
Yes.
Love it. Love it. So you're talking about, you know, using what you learned in corporate, you know, using your coaching skills, et cetera. And I know you also use music and art as a healing method. Can you tell us about how you do that?
Yeah. You know, that's part of the emotional intelligence, really understanding your emotion, learning to manage it and how to express it. And a lot of time as leaders, whether you're a parent or a business owner, we have buttons that are easily pushed, right, because we've had traumas or negative emotions happen to us. And so the music art program is amazing for those demographic of population who either have gone through talk therapy and they just didn't enjoy it, they didn't like talking about it, or populations that are unable to talk about their emotions, like youth and our kids, who can't put words to how they feel. And how it works is that, as we know, music and art is amazing in itself. It puts you in a place that can get you excited, right? When you hear the Rocky song, it motivates you. You put on Mozart or Beethoven, it instantly relaxes you, and we all know about the Mozart effect. And so the program I have is actually been used in Europe for over 30 years, and they have composed very specific music, 10 pieces of 10 pieces of music that actually have been found to help release negative emotion so that you can get clarity without having to talk about what's going on. And so it's been a great way to reduce depression, OCD, anxiety, stress, phobia. The students that I've used it for have gotten better grades. My recent student actually went from 3 F's and a C to straight A's.
Wow.
Their parents are saying that the children are showing greater willingness to communicate with them and other people. There's less stress and more of a calmness. So that's how I use it for family, whether it's adults or children.
Well, that's wonderful. I come from a musical background, and music is such a huge part of my life. And I'm not very good in the art area, but I don't think it matters how good you are. I think it matters that you're doing it, right?
Yeah, the art part is really, think of it like your dream. You know, they always say that your dream is giving you either a premonition, it's guiding you somewhere, telling you what you should avoid and to face it, right? And so it's coming from the subconscious mind. That's why when you're sleeping, it comes out. And drawing is the same way. And when you're drawing while you're listening to music, the conscious mind gets shut off, right? Because the music makes you relax. You're almost going into a meditation state. So when you're drawing, it's actually your subconscious mind giving you a picture. So it's like your dreams coming out on paper. And with this program, what happens is that those pictures are going to be read by a master practitioner in France, and it will tell you what you're releasing, what's going on with you inside. So it's not really about how good of an artist you are. It's just showing what you're needing to release and what you need to work on.
Well, that makes sense, because a lot of people, that's really not their skill set. It's not the point of it all anyway. So how do kids respond, especially like teenagers, when you're asking them to listen to a piece of music? How do they respond? I'm just kind of curious.
They love it. It's really funny. When I talk to adults and I say, well, you know, you're going to be listening to specific music, and it's all symphonic music that has been played by the London Symphony Orchestra. Very powerful music. The first thing that the adults will tell me is, well, I don't know how to draw. And so we always go into our ego side, right, and start judging ourselves. And I have to tell them, it's nothing to do with drawing. The kids, they're like, cool, when do we start? They don't even think about it. And once they get into it, they actually, I would say, oh, we have 8 sessions left. We have 5 sessions left. And they would start, like, giving me sad faces. They're like, we love it, but we don't want it to end. One of my recent kids, he's 15 years old, never drawn, hated it. Third week into the program, he signed up for drawing as an elective. His family was like, their mouth dropped.
Wow.
Every day he comes home talking about how much he looks forward to going to school and talking about his art classes, and is loving it because he's releasing. The art is helping him release whatever negative emotion and stress that he's going through.
Oh, that's just amazing. Such good work. Love to hear that.
Yeah, and I hate hearing that schools, you know, are taking the art program and the music program out, because it's such a great conduit for our children and for us.
It sure is. I mean, well, somebody who grew up with music, I mean, I played an instrument and I sang. I feel like I haven't practiced in so long. I've lost a lot of my voice. But, you know, doing those things are probably cathartic and helping me and all of us who did them. And we may not even have realized it, you know, as kids.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Amazing.
It goes in it affects such a deep level and such a quantum level that it's not anything that we can even measure or science can even measure.
Well, Jackie, let's get into talking about families in our day and age here. I'm sure this is very, very interesting. Most people have a family of some sort. What do you think is going on when you look at families these days? And we have people all over the world that listen to our show.
Right.
But, you know, if you want to talk about families in general or families in the U.S., it doesn't matter. But what are some of the major issues that families are going through these days?
Well, we have a lot of pressure with having to have two working parents. So then you've got the financial pressure, right? Back 30 years ago, there was always at least one parent at home. So now you're talking about a disconnect, because when you have two busy parents being worried about financial, and with the financial crisis and the crash and what's going on now, even more stress. We're talking about a 50% divorce rate. So then you've got all of the emotional and mental trauma from that for the kids and for the parents. We, you know, the study shows that the problem with most teens have today is that they have the same stress level as a psychiatric patient in the 50s.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
It's right. And what they're going through, besides the divorce with their parents and, you know, having financial pressure from their parents, having to have two working parents, they're also going through a lot of pressure with trying to be accepted to college. It's much harder now. It's more expensive now. You've got higher expectation on sports and music. And then you add the threats of violence in school and terrorist attack. And, you know, they turn on the news and some school, you know, 15 kids just got shot down by some crazy classmate. I live in a very affluent area in Los Angeles, and yet we had two bomb threats just in the last month, and the high school had to be closed down. And those are very challenging issues that not only we are facing in the U.S., but around the world.
Wow, it really is. And now that with social media and all the forms of communication that we have, you know, we hear about everything. And it's seeing something like that is very impactful in your life. It's terrifying. I mean, I don't have children. And I look at it and it sends chills through me.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's so sensationalized, too, right? Anything bad, it's all over the news. Very rarely do we see anything good all over the news. You have to almost look and dig for it. And so, as we know, what we focus on expands. And so with, like you said, social media and just the news and the movies, they also sensationalize all the bad things. So that's what we focus on. But really, there's so many amazing things that are happening in the world. That's great. But those are some of the major crises and issues that families are facing in this day and age.
Mm-hmm. So true. And it's interesting. I've just a random thought. You know, I always laugh. I said, I wish there was the Happy Channel on TV where we could see feel-good stories and really amazing things that have happened. And the closest I can find to that is the Oprah Network with her specific shows. I mean, she's got shows on that aren't happy, like Dateline NBC and all these things. And I get hooked on them. But, you know, she's got beautiful shows. And that's the closest I've ever seen to something like that. But there's so, so, so much more good in the world. And that is why I have the passion to, you know, present on happiness and well-being and how people can implement in their lives, just as you do your work, because it really is there and you really have to focus on that. And, you know, with families, I just notice, you know, watching watching others and through my life. You know, I'm engaged now, and I will be, you know, bringing the Ryan has a child. So, but watching it through all these years, the tiredness and the running and the expectations, we have to. And there's so much of that. And with all you've just said, plus you put all that on top of it, no wonder, you know, the psychiatric patient of the 1950s comes to mind, and that's a fact, because I'm not surprised. So we have all these things that take away from, you know, the family really connecting. And I may have mentioned them, and please expand on that. But, you know, with the expectation of how many things, activities the kids have to be in, what the parents have to do to survive financially. Is there more to add to that? You know, what takes away from the family really connecting?
Yeah, you know, just all the external event that your parents are running their kids around. And then you, like I said, then you add the high divorce rate nowadays, right? So then each parent's only seeing the kids half the time, and the kids are only spending half the time with each parent. So then you're adding more running around for the kids. You're switching back and forth. And so that, I think, starts aggravating the situation if we don't start doing something different. And I can give some ways and techniques and tips on how to make that shift and make a difference in your family later on.
Oh, that would be wonderful, because, you know, with divorce, you know, currently, how do you, and we will definitely do that later in the show, how do people currently cope with those issues? I mean, quite frankly, it looks to me sometimes like, you know, alcohol becomes involved, people getting less sleep, people end up ill, or having to go to the doctor so much more. I mean, from your perspective, how are people coping with these things when they don't know how to cope?
Well, what I see is two things. They either avoid it, like the elephant in the room, by not talking about it, but everybody knows it's there, the energy is there, that feeling, but they don't want to say it, right? I mean, you find that a lot in parents who can't tell their kids that the divorce is happening. When the kids know, they just want an answer, but you don't know how to say it. So it's not talking about it, or blowing up and getting angry. And a lot of times the anger is not even about what the real problem is. It's something completely unrelated.
Because you're so tired and so overworked.
Right.
You get angry, right?
And you just snap. You're right. You just snap. And you're not snapping. You know, what that person said was just kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. But you've had so much weight on your shoulder that one little straw or one little feather that got on that, it just, you explode. And so I'm seeing a lot of that, either avoidance or very high intensity emotion.
And then you've pushed family members away, and then the lack of communication really starts, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then what happens is then there's, you don't have a family unit that's sticking together, right? Because no matter what happens outside the world, as long as we can come home, right, it's that foundation. Our family is that foundation. You can be going to work, get stressed out, you can have the worst boss. When you come home and you've created an amazing family foundation, it just feels like you're safe and that you can conquer the world.
Everybody needs home base. I call my place home base.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when your home base is chaotic and you're emotionally erupting on your kids and on your spouse and they don't want to be with you and everybody's off doing their thing, there is no more home base.
Oh,
and
that's tough.
Where's home base, right?
You know, it's funny because I grew up, I'm an only child, and I grew up in a family, we owned a business. And you know when you own a business, that's a different life. We owned Dairy Queens, and we used to call all of us that were the kids, we were Dairy Queen babies. That means you stay up late. You stay up late, especially on weekends. You get up late on weekends. With school, you can't. You're running around all the time. You are hearing about the business all the time. It changes your life. Now, was I lucky? I was really lucky, but I did not have a normal childhood with respect to the way that people who work jobs had. I know that's for sure. But, you know, I definitely had the home base. See, I was everywhere right. with my parents. My dad worked another job on top of it, Jackie, just to make sure we had the best benefits and everything so that I could have everything I wanted. And I was with my mom all the time at the business. I began working at the business when I was 7 years old. There's a lot of good from that. But also at the same time, I would hear about my parents, you know, the issues with the store, the people working there because they're younger, quitting, all the stress of all the stuff, how we, you know, how much money are we going to make through the winter months because we're in Northeast Ohio, you know, on and on and on and on. It was like there was no like what you think of as a regular family with parents with jobs coming home. So,
yeah,
you know, that's my little story. But I mean, everybody, a lot of people have those stories.
Right. And it sounds like your parents were able to solve whatever issues or problems that came in the business, and it worked out, right?
It did. I mean, I was very, very lucky. At the same time, years ago, I used to be kind of resentful that I'd have to be hearing about it all the time, that I would have to go up and work. Now, they paid me. But I mean, right. when I was 7 years old, I started doing stuff at the Dairy Queen. So, you know, yes, it was great. And on the other hand, I see it as value now as an older person, but younger,
right.
you know, it was different, but that's how it goes. I mean, when I look back on it, I was extremely lucky.
Yeah. Well, and what they found is that, you know, young children, we're talking under 7, 6 years old, right? And it's good that they don't aren't around the stress, right? The arguing or just all that stress, because they don't get how to process it. But once the kids are getting older, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, it's actually good that the parents, they hear their parents maybe argue and then resolve the problem. They need to see that it goes all the way through, that life gives you challenges. And then you take the challenges and you go through and you apologize, you fix it, and keep going. So with you, you had a family business, it sounds like, where your parents had their difficulty, which is with every business, right? But you watched them somehow figure it out, whether they said, you know, you need to work, we'll pay you, and then it got mediated and it worked out. And that's so important for kids to see.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm not saying everything worked out always perfectly, but I knew I was very loved by both parents. That's the key.
Absolutely.
Communication Absolutely. Wasn't always great with my parents, but I knew the love was
you
there.
You don't win every game, right? You don't win every game, but as long as you go in there and you know the rules and you're playing fair and you're doing it, you'll succeed in the next challenge that comes up.
Right, right. Well, you know, what I think our listeners would really be interested in is let's get into how we can solve some of the issues. I mean, we've talked about some of your work already, but then what does a family do when they're, or maybe they're pretty good, but they want to get better, or maybe there is a lot of arguing in the house because that's because the parents don't know how to communicate with each other. They specifically don't have good communication skills. So what happens, like how can our families, lots of people on the phone have families that are listeners are listening in. How do we start making changes and getting better?
Okay. So what I do when I go into a company and we're usually called in, my team and I, because there's conflict going on between managers and employees, or the owner's not happy. And so there's always, they always call us when it's, you know, when the fire is on high. And what happens is no one's working cohesively together. So what we do, a lot of times there's more of a dictatorship. And so with a family, what you want to realize is the parents, as parents, you're the CEO of your family. And maybe the older kids are the managers and the younger kids are the team members. And so just like a chocolate fountain, it starts at the top. So Gandhi had a great quote of saying, you know, be the change you wish to see in the world. Well, be the change you wish to see in your family. If you want your family to listen to you, guess what? You need to listen to your family, what your kids are telling you, what they're saying. Ask. I think there's more power in listening than talking. One of the ways to do this is spend at least 3 times a week having a family meal together. and you use this time with no electronics, and you share your problems, and everybody shares a solution how to mediate that problem. Just 3 times a week, have a meal together.
Mm. Meal. It could even be breakfast, because a lot of people, they're running around at night. It could be breakfast.
It could be anything. Right. A second way is to align your family with other powerful family. You know, you see corporations do this. They pick power partners, and they align with whatever they're weak at. And so basically get to know who your kids are hanging out with. Get to know the family, because they can influence in a good way or bad way for your kids. Be aware of what's going on within your family and outside of it. So align your family with other powerful family members so that you can create the support for your children. A third way is to take time out every day to get grounded and centered. And this can be in the form of meditation, listening to soothing music, taking a walk in nature, or for some people, petting their dog or cat really puts them in a centered, grounded place. And you can do this as a family. My kids and I will meditate sometime together. Sometimes we'll go for a walk on the beach together. It's a time to not even have to talk, but you're there. The energy is there, connected.
You can be in a room together and say that, you know, this is our time to just, especially like if you do have a family pet, that, you know, everybody sort of gives everybody attention, no matter what it is. Because some people, you know, live in places where it's very cold and it's, you know, walking is, I love that. But, you know, if you're stuck inside, you know, you have to find other ways to do it.
Right. Play a game together. Charade, cards, whatever it is, right? It's a connecting and a building of that we're in this together feeling.
What happens when you get when you get at that age, you know, for girls, it can be 11 and on into high school. For boys, it's high school where they just don't, you know, a lot of kids don't feel like they can or want to talk to their family members about certain feelings they're having, things going through their life, very personal. You know, our bodies are changing, our hormones are changing. How do you, you know, especially if you have that kind of kid who just is more withdrawn, or the family isn't, you know, the best at communication, do you have any ideas about how to work with that when you have kids that are maybe a little more closed off in that nature?
Tip that I gave was aligning your family with other powerful family members or other powerful families, so that you're creating a support for your children. Sometimes it's easier to go talk to your aunt as a girl or your uncle as a boy if you as a parent created that setting already, so that you can tell your kids sometimes there's things, maybe it's about me and you're just not ready or not know how to say it to me. Well, you know how close you are to Uncle Bob. You know, you can always go to him. And then Uncle Bob goes to Johnny and says, and spends time talking with him and building that rapport, so that Johnny feels comfortable to go to Uncle Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's or building friends. That powerful family alliances that will create that support for your children.
Or families that are friends with families or that are very
Absolutely.
Close as well.
Right. You know, it's the saying that goes, it takes a village to raise a family, and just create your village by choice, not by default.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, create your village, because you know the people that you want in your life that have, like, the values and ethics, and they know, you know, they'll give good advice. And there's that part of confidentiality there, too, Jackie, too. Also, when I think if you go to, let's say it's a neighbor that's a great family, and you're, you know, very likely the child may go talk to the other child, and that happens too. But if, you know, hopefully parents have to start being open enough to say, listen, if it's something you don't want your parents to know, another parent can't keep that confidential, because it's something
right.
that the parent needs to know. And that could be really touchy. I think maybe the parent that the child's talking to has to spend some time saying, I'll go with you back to your parents, or, you know, this is something that we have to talk to them about. Boy, that can get really touchy. You need probably some really good communication skills to deal with tough issues, don't you?
Right, and you know what? There's always school personnel, school counselor, teachers, right, who are trained to keep things private and confidential. And for me, I make it a point to get to know my kids' school counselor, their teachers, the vice principal, and I ask these people, please keep an eye on my daughter, please get to know her, and they will do those things specifically because you've asked them to do it.
Oh.
Target those certain kids out. And then they'll bring the kids in and say, how are you doing? And they get to know your kids better. And you tell them, you know, maybe you are going through a divorce, and you express this so that the teachers are aware, and they're much more there for your kids as, say, another children who aren't going through the same stress and maybe trauma. And so then you've got someone at school, right, that's helping them during the day while you're at work. And then in the evenings, on the weekends, you create friendships and alliances with the family, and you do play dates with them, or you're with your brothers or sisters. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, there's always someone that can keep that confidentiality.
Yeah, and there's always that time when the kids get older, like we talk about, that it's good that they can go to another person and maybe say, you know, I can't talk to my parents about this right now, and they talk. And if it's something that is to the point where it's dangerous, you say, you know what, I'll go with you. I'll go, we need to talk to your parents, you know, and I'll go with you. Because, and I think it's fair to say to an older kid, listen, this is dangerous, and I can't let, you know, you can't just walk away from this. So what are we going to do, you know, together? Because, you know, kids get into things when they're teenagers that are really rough. I can remember as a kid, I have to laugh. This is a much simpler story, but my mom kept buying me my birthstone, beautiful ring. I loved my birthstone. She always bought me in the form of ring, and I lost one, and I'm like, oh, so I told her. And then when I was like 10, I lost another one. So I went to my dad, who's super quiet, and mom takes care of all that kind of communication stuff. And I said, Dad, I was crying. I go, I lost it again. And he's like, and he said to me, he said, okay, what do you want to do? And I said, tell Mom, but you're coming with me. And I made him come with me, and I made him stand next to me. I'm so dramatic. And I was like 10, and she goes, oh, Lori. And, you know, it was funny, but I just inherently knew to do that. And it gave me the courage to go to her for a third time. And she's like, I don't think you should get another ring. I mean, it just, I'm like, I think I did end up getting another ring eventually, but
yeah,
how funny.
Yeah. So it's great. You learned a great lesson, and that's what we need to empower our children with.
Now, my fiance is probably listening to this show, and I want to say I will not lose my diamond. I have learned how to deal with jewelry, but as a kid, you know, I wasn't dealing with it properly. I was at a day camp when my parents were at the Dairy Queen, and I would throw it in a bag, or it would get caught in my stuff, and then it probably went flying. I mean, I'm very picky these days, but you know, kids, that they inherently sometimes know, but I love the idea of a bigger support network for kids to say, who could I go to for this? Because they'll just sort of know, I can talk to Aunt Susie. I can talk to my neighbors, you know, my best friend's mom, or I can, but again, it's got to be people we really trust. And there's some big issues out there with bullying, with drugs, with, you know, sexual activity in teens.
You got to do your interview. I mean, that's what companies do before they align with another company and roll out something together. They're doing interviews, long time interviews, getting to know the other company, who their clientele are, if they want to align with them, right? And you as a parent need to do the same research.
I'm going to ask you like not an off topic question, but you know, I grew up in a very hardworking Midwestern family, and I told you before I really knew I was loved. But my parents weren't big into saying I love you. They just really, really showed it. I'm much better at doing that. What's your stance on the must say I love you?
It's different for, okay, so there's four different communication modality, right? We've got, and also you've heard of the five languages of love. Everybody receives love differently. Some people need words of affirmation. Some people need gifts to show that you're being loved. So my stand on that is, depending on who you're talking to, that person might need more words of affirmation, which means saying I love you. And then other kids, hey, as long as you're around and quality time is more important, that's their love language, then they don't need to hear it. So as a parent, you need to learn what your children's love language is.
So important.
And then from there, you lead by example.
So important. And, you know, some people have issues. They have a hard time saying it. But again, I think as parents, we're really responsible to grow. You know, and quite frankly, when you have a child, sometimes you just got to really grow up pretty fast.
Absolutely. If something is uncomfortable, how to get comfortable doing it is keep doing it.
That's true. You know, it's funny when I was in my 20s, I wasn't ready to have children. I decided I wasn't ever going to have children, but I can't imagine in my 20s being ready. Now, that's me. And I think a lot of people who have children in their 20s, not all, but some are definitely not ready because they haven't grown into the person they really want to be. They kind of have to grow along with the kids. So it is interesting that a lot of people are having children later in life, like in their 30s. And I still wasn't ready, I'm sure, but that can be helpful probably to people if they wait longer.
As you grow, you learn, and as you learn, you grow. And of course, you're much more intelligent and much more wise the more life experience you've had to pass on your learnings.
Of course. Well, you know, these are wonderful. I wouldn't even call them tips. I mean, they're big pieces here that you're talking about, and, you know, people getting started and doing and being really more conscious. And you know, I've talked about this on other shows. There is nothing wrong with saying, you know, it's important that we as a family connect. It's important that I'm able to be there for you. You know, therefore, I know great families whose parents have a kind of a deal with each other that you need to go out and do your thing for a couple of hours on a weekend once a week, whether it go with friends or whatever. Some guys, you know, they golf, they do other things, whatever it is. And you, dad, need to go out and do your thing so we can be the best parents. But they have so much love for their kids and they're there for their kids, but they get a break to go do things that they love to do to fill them up. I think that, first of all, is extremely important. And also to say
that
to the kids, you know,
important.
Oh my gosh. And to say to the kids, you know what? I know you want to be in three activities, but if you're in each in three activities, we can't connect with each other. You can't have the home base that you really need to have. And you need to understand that. So I need you right now, the two or three of you kids, to go to one each or to whatever. And I just start it that way. And if it's too late, you got to start scaling back, because I hear parents call themselves taxi driver. I don't know what I am. I don't even call myself a mom. Yep. And they say it with a lot of resentment. I am just a taxi driver.
Right.
What's going to happen?
And they know it's not right, right? They
know
it's not right. And too many of us as parents are doing what feels good, you know, like, oh, you're to ask your child, well, how does it feel that you have three activities? Oh, yeah, I love it. And you just do what your kids feel good, and you let go of what your intuition of what's right is. And as parents, we need to go back into our intuition, and we know, we see the big picture. Kids, they're instant gratification state, right? And so they want to be in three sports. They want to be at their friend's house all night long for 2 days. But as parents, we have to look at the bigger picture, and intuition tells you that's not... It might feel good right now, but for the long run, that's not a good thing. So this is what we're doing. We're making this executive decision where we have to create a balance in our family and also individually, right? So dad can go off for a few hours for his time. Mom goes off. Well, you get to go do your sports. But then the other times, we are connecting.
And if a family doesn't start doing this, what does a family's future look like? I mean, if they are over, I mean, I know it's obviously being exhausted and lack of sleep, which leads to a lot of other things, right? That aren't good.
Well, the divorce rate being higher, juvenile delinquency, you've got a much higher rate of substance abuse with our teens now. I mean, that's one of the things that I do is I educate kids on and parents on drugs, substance, alcohol, abuse, and what's going on in our society. And it's epidemic compared to what, you know, the age you and I lived in. So we're talking about higher substance abuse. We're talking about kids and parents being less proactive about solving their own problems and kind of staying in that victim energy. And you know, when people stay in the victim energy, it's about blaming and it's about non-action, right? And that's what we're teaching our kids. And so then we've just got a society of pointing fingers and then numbing themselves and then going out and causing problems and going to jail, and then the divorce is happening. So it's a huge spiral downward.
And, you know, I want to get into the divorce situation a little bit. I have friends, you know, who are divorced, and I've seen some things. What happens when that divorce happens? And that is something that is, you know, some people handle it better than others. But you're so devastated that when you are with your child, you have a hard time with discipline because of the guilt you feel for not, you know, being there in the home all the time. How do you deal with that?
Well, a lot of people think that you're somehow less than or, you know, taking a step back or losing. You know, it's basically when you get divorced. And for me, I say congratulations because you're finally making a conscious decision on not staying in a relationship that doesn't work. And it's traumatic for children to be around parents who don't get along. Even if you think they're not hearing you argue, have you ever walked into a room right when someone's arguing and they just stop and you can feel that feeling that room, that energy, right? Well, your kids feel that. And for one of the parents to step up and say, no, I am not doing this and I'm not allowing my kids to live this way, it is a congratulation. So when people step into that, instead of putting themselves in the victim, like, oh, my God, what I do, and I'm going to mess up my children, and, you know, and I'm going to be alone forever, what you focus on is what is going to expand. So if you focus on you now being able to take control of your life, making conscious choices that are positive for yourself and your kids, divorce isn't a bad thing. It's a closing of a chapter, but it's an opening of an amazing new life that you get to choose how you want to do it.
That's wonderful. How do you deal as a parent?
Go ahead.
How do you deal with the guilt? Because a lot of the parents I know can't get rid of the guilt.
That is something deeper. It's not just going to go away. It's a process. Right. Just like any negative emotion, it's like when you fall, right? You're going to scrape yourself. It hurts. It bleeds. And then your body heals it with a scab and then it's gone. And so guilt is one of those emotions that really stems from, sadness, fear, anger, and you feel guilt about it. And so what I tell my client and even friends is I say, step into that guilt. Talk about where it comes from. Where is it in your body? What does it feel like? And then move it. If it's in your stomach, move it to your heart. Bring loving energy into that guilt, because where is that guilt coming from? Because if you feel guilty about this, that feeling probably came up earlier in your life, maybe even your childhood. And it's coming up for you to heal those emotions from your childhood.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
It does, because then it manifests and it shows, you know, because you feel so guilty, you don't want to discipline your child. You don't want to ever say no. You let them get away with much more than you would if you were in the house.
Absolutely.
And that is not good for the child.
No, you have to go back to the root cause of that guilt, because that guilt didn't just come from the divorce. It came from something way farther in your past.
Because sometimes kids, you know, they'll throw that on you. They'll say, well, if you were still in the house, maybe we'd have this, or, you know, they'll throw things on you that, and then that
and
guilt.
Right. Right. Because other people are a mirror to us, and they're bringing out situations so that you can heal that wound without knowing it. They're doing that. So if you had a button, because if you have a guilt button, something someone says is going to trigger that. And when you get rid of that button, when that child says that, you can say, honey, I did this out of love for both of us. I didn't want you to be living in a house where you think that that's what relationships should be like. Were you happy?
Oh, that's wonderful. I want to give me
right?
and you a chance.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I want something different for us. I want something beautiful for you that you see what relationships should be like. Because if you don't have that guilt button, when a child is screaming at you, it doesn't mean anything. So that's why you have to get rid of that guilt button. It came from somewhere in your past that you created. And that child and that partner is going, their purpose is to help you heal. And they're going to say things and do things to bring up those buttons so that you can heal from it.
Now, they don't know they're doing that. They don't know that they're helping
nope.
you heal.
Nope.
but you know it. You know that the people
you,
do that.
You know
that's what people do. That's what people are here for, is to help us grow as people. Other things are here for that too. I believe animals help us grow and heal. I believe that life circumstances and beauty and nature do that too. But people also do that, and they may not be coming from the best place when they do it, obviously.
Nope.
But we have to know, oh, these are one of these things and helping me go to the next level. Okay. No matter where it's coming from them.
Right.
Good or bad place. And quite frankly, it's not coming from a good place a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Right. Own it. Own that feeling and make the action that's best for you and not react to it.
Right. Take it in and use it the way you know it needs to be used to help you get past it or heal it or deal with it or whatever it might be.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great. Great. So with... You know, that leads me to ask about non-traditional families. And when I mean non-traditional, it could be anything that doesn't look like mom female, dad male, kids living all together in a home.
Leave it to Beaver.
Whatever, anything other than that, okay, it would be, you know, might not be completely traditional.
Yeah.
If you don't have those roles, how do you, and a lot of people might see other families in those roles, and they've been taught by like grandparents, aunts, and uncles that that's how you do it. We still sort of have, I mean, we have that still in our society, at least in the U.S. How do you work with the kids and the family unit work together when it is non-traditional? What are some things they can do to make it feel like it really works for them?
You know, I think one thing is just not to think of it, not to compare, you know, there is no such thing as traditional. There's no such thing as modern. Modern compared to what? Traditional compared to what? You're talking about different society, you know, compared to the Asian society, compared to what it was. I think when you stop labeling things, you become much freer and to just be as a family. This is what works for us. And you just it's a blend of what you've learned growing up that worked, and you learn from what didn't work and you make it better. And so you become your family, and there's no label to what your family is. It's just whatever works for you guys, what's important, what's your value, not what the value of everybody else is. So for me, it's just getting rid of that label of what traditional and modern, what should be right and what's wrong, and what's good and what's bad anymore.
Okay, so you take what would be the roles, you know, of the traditional mom, dad, et cetera. Even back in the day, family members like aunts and grandparents would live close by, and that's been gone for a lot of people for a while. But I had a mother who had a grandmother and aunts who all lived two blocks apart. So I did experience some of that as a kid. And then I experienced my family not living right by, close, but not like that close. So, you know, we sort of start to see that as we grow up and those things change. So I think it's who takes on that role. For example, if you have a single mom, you know, I would think you'd agree with this. If you don't, I'm happy to hear what you'd like to say about it. But if dad isn't around, or if dad isn't in the picture that much, and you want a father figure role, I mean, you think a lot of people accidentally start dating people. And if you don't know if that relationship is going to work out, then you've got these people coming in and out of your life. It could be granddad. It could be uncle.
Absolutely.
It could, you
right.
find that stable person and you bring them in as the father yep. figure. Is that
right.
it?
Yep. It's bringing that alliance, going back to that alliance with your family, creating that village that you want around your family to give it what it needs, to feed it, to give it confidence. And it doesn't even have to be a blood relative. A lot of times there are people's best friend that they grew up in high school, or someone they met 5 years ago can be that person that comes in as a mother or father figure, or that aunt, uncle figure. And that's what I was saying is there, if we all stop labeling that, oh, it has to be dad that gives the father figure. No, it doesn't. Study shows that it doesn't. It's just a father figure, not necessarily. It could be a coach. You can, you know, they have Boys and Girls Club, right? The Boys and Girls Society, and you can sign up your kid to have a big brother or a big sister. And that person could be that figure. And you don't have to worry about having to find a guy to date to have that.
You know, I've heard kids still say, I want to have a dad like so-and-so. Even though they have those people in their lives, they still ache for it sometimes. And I think that needs to be talked about, to say, you know what?
Yeah.
You have wonderful people. Here's why you have granddad, uncle so-and-so, and coach so-and-so. Because I want you to have a multitude of people, of male figures that you can go to. It's not just dad. You may not see it this way, but you're kind of lucky because we
right.
consciously made a decision to bring these three people into your life.
Right. Yeah. And children, I mean, that's what we do as adults. We're guiding, right? When they start focusing too much on the negative, for every negative, there's always a positive. So as parents, we want to guide them back to, well, you're really lucky. You know, like I tell my kids, I'm divorced. You get two houses. You get daddy's house, you get two Christmas tree every year, you get double the presents, you get to go to twice as much of many vacations. And so you have them focus on the positive and what's great about their situation. And the more they focus on something, the more it expands. And that's what we're supposed to be there. We're not supposed to take their pain and hurt away. Those pain and hurt are part of the learning process. We're there to guide them to be better adults and to be better leaders.
Well, I love that, but they don't realize it until you say it to them and they get to look at it a different way.
Right, right.
That's
you
the
know,
key.
You know, yeah, the brain, it's not until you're 24 or 25 before it fully matures to an adult brain. And the prefrontal cortex doesn't develop until about 24, 25. And so they don't think like we do. They can't process emotion. They can't process logic and decision-making the same way as an adult. That's why sometimes we hear adults saying, what were you thinking, right, to a teenager? Or even to a 21-year-old, like, what are you thinking? Because physically they're not able to function that way. Their brain hasn't grown to an adult brain. And so it's important that parents, that's one of the other things I talk about in my book, is that as parents, you have to learn and read and educate yourself on the developmental process of your kids so that you understand why they do what they do, why they feel what they feel, so that you can help them guide them out of that.
Right. Well, you know, Jackie, believe it or not, this has been such a wonderful conversation. We're coming to our end here. And I want to say a couple of things here. I want to talk about your book and such. But I will tell our audience, we have pre-recorded this. And I think a lot of people are going to have some questions and comments. So what I'd like to do is, if you have a question or comment, I'd like you to email me, our listeners, email me at happyhangout@gmail.com. Again, that's happyhangout@gmail.com. And we'll see if we can, you know, we can grab 10 minutes at another time and we'll, you know, we'll have some people call in and we'll take the questions and we'll do some of that further, because I think this is such a hot topic.
Yes.
And I would just like to, and Jackie, hopefully that's okay with you. We'll do something in the future.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes,
great.
Absolutely.
Jackie's book, Your Amazing Itty Bitty Family Leadership Book, 15 simple tips successful companies use that parents can implement at home. This is a great little book. I've gone through it. Families, you really need to read this book. It's very quick. You can do it in the matter of minutes. You can pick it up at Amazon. Again, it's your amazing itty bitty family leadership book, 15 simple tips successful companies use that parents can implement at home. You can go on Amazon or you can go on www.happinesshangout.net and just go to shopping, and you can get it on my Amazon link as well. Appreciate that. And also, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Jackie's Catharsis Application Program. It's CAP. Music and Art Integration. It's a unique, one-of-a-kind, 12-week process integrating music and art together as an intervention to enhance someone's emotional well-being, and it affects change in your life. The program is safe, non-intrusive, and respectful of each individual's process to move forward without force. This tool is beneficial for our children and individuals who find it difficult to communicate. So, Jackie, if people would like to see more or hear more about what you're doing, tell us your website again where people can find all this great information and your book and everything.
Sure. Sure. My website is www.integrativemindswithans.com.
Wonderful. Go
and
check
I'm
it out.
Also,
make sure.
Yeah. And in April, I'm going to be having my own radio show on family unit and family leadership. So they'll be able to listen to that, too.
Wonderful. So check out Jackie's website so you can find out all the information. Jackie, this is a wonderful conversation. So helpful. I can't wait till it airs, and I'm going to get it out there to lots and lots of people need to hear this. So thank you again for being on Happiness Hangout.
Thank you, Lori. I really appreciate it. I will talk
sure.
to you soon.
All right. You too. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Want to find a space to participate in reading, activities, interactive blog, and much more? Check out www.happinesshangout.net. Looking for a speaker or workshop around the area of happiness? We customize presentations to fit your needs. Just click on the My Services tab at the website. You can also support the site by shopping at Amazon or one of our other affiliates. Just go to www.happinesshangout.net. And click on the shopping link or go to my page here at BBS Radio.